This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, everybody? Week 11, a glorious Sunday outside. Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome, getting ready for that noon start between the Cleveland Browns, 2-7, and the 3-7 New Orleans Saints. Can Coach Riz get that bump again in this game and get a second straight win before the bye week?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What time do you think Jameis woke up this morning?
Oh, he might have not even slept.
I think he stayed
so anxious.
Up. Yeah.
Definitely anxious to see the return of Jameis in the Dome just because of what he brings emotionally, I think, is going to be funny. Just the faces he makes and what he says, and also looking forward to hopefully some of those, as Mike Dettillier would term them, lollipop balls. So hopefully this secondary can pick them off because the takeaway margin has not been good for Cleveland, whereas the Saints have thrived in that at least this season.
Yeah, Tyron Matthew, I think he referred to him as moon balls.
Moonball,
first
right.
Play of the game. He's like, throw it up, buddy. See what happens. We talked to Chris Easterling from the Beacon Journal earlier this week. He called it the Jameisance. So I think we should go with the Jameisance versus the Resurrection. Who makes it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm all about the Riz, obviously. The Darren Rizzi, the head coach of the Saints now. Trying, like I said, to get that second straight win for this black and gold bunch. And I don't know, you've been around, obviously, the team a bunch in the
sure
locker
have.
Room. And do you feel like that energy carried over into another week?
You know, it's tough. And I don't know if we can really possibly know that. Like, yeah, we spend 20 minutes, 40 minutes a day
right.
for 3 days in the locker room. And so I could sit
you
here,
know everything
I
about
could sit
this
here
team.
And pretend that that's like, you know, polling data. And like, oh, yeah, we can extrapolate and the margin of error. No, I mean, like, there's no way to know because I don't sit in those meetings. I'm not at those practices and see how that energy is. They say it is. They say the energy is still there. But I think this is an important week for Riz. I really do. Like, he got that last week was that kind of first step of like, hey, this could be a thing. Right? Like, and you needed that. But, you know, that game could have easily gone the other way. Like, we talk about that game like, oh, man, the energy in this. And he created a scenario where they won. He did. But there was also, like, a very easy scenario where they lose that game.
Yeah, we didn't account for three field goals that should have been good.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had a chance to ice that game and your best player dropped it. And sometimes we call something a drop and it was really a difficult catch that it's like, oh, you know, you should have caught it, but I get it. No, it was a straight drop by your best player, right? So, I mean, like, there's still issues.
Alvin say? He said it was lame or
– the lamest thing he's ever done,
right?
Yeah. I mean, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed about it, and he should be. I mean, that's your job, right? but, no, I mean, like, this is going to be the week that you kind of see, well, okay, was that just a one-week bump in energy, or is this something that you might be able to sustain? Because, hey, you're in a good spot here, right? Like, you win this game, you go into the – and I say good spot. How good of a spot can you be in at 3-7?
Three wins. We're in a great spot.
In terms of, like, what is your setup? Up over the next few weeks, right? You have a game that's in front of you that you should be able to win. Then you have a bye week to rest up, and then you welcome in a Rams team that isn't great, And you'll have the advantage of a bye week. Now, this week, the Browns are coming off a bye, so they'll have that extra energy. They've had that extra time to prepare. They got a quarterback who's going to be juiced up. You know, there's a lot of connections on this in this game, actually. You know, you go back to that 2019 Vikings staff. It's got Kevin Stefanski on it. It's got Clint Kubiak on it. It's got Marwan Maloof on it, a guy that most people probably don't even know. He's a new special teams coach after they fired DA and moved Rizzi to the head coaching job. They brought in Marwan Maloof. He was a special teams coordinator on the same staff that Clint Kubiak and Andrew Giannoco and Rick Dennison were on. So they know each other well. You know, Miles Garrett and Eric McCoy, we'll talk more about Eric McCoy. They were teammates in college. Cedric Tillman, Alante Taylor, they were teammates in college at Tennessee. Obviously, a couple of LSU guys in Grant Delpit and at safety and Ethan Pochich at center. So, you know, this. Oh, and Joe Woods was the defense coordinator for the Browns in the from 2020 to 2022. He was actually the defensive coordinator when you went up there and froze your toes off on the sideline.
Yeah, the modern-day Ice Bowl.
Yeah, and so, you know, and he probably doesn't look back at that game quite as fondly as we do as the winning side of that equation. He ended up getting fired after that season. I would argue he was kind of scapegoated a little bit.
Probably why his offense didn't run the ball more there.
Right, exactly. Like, you can blame the defense, but you had Deshaun Watson throw the ball 36 times in negative 20 degrees. Like, whose fault is that? The guy who calls the plays? Well, that would be Kevin Stefanski. He still has a job. Now, they went to the – he won Coach of the Year last year, right? Like, they went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. So, you know, he was kind of – we were joking with him, like, hey, people have been calling this the Joe Woods revenge game. And he said, no. Like, that's – he doesn't look at it that way. His family still lives in Cleveland. But, you know, he'll stand up there and say that any time you go against your former team, you want to put one on them, right? So he would love to go out there and shut out the Browns, right? He would love there to pick off three passes and be like, okay, hey, who's – There who's might the be, problem now?
Obviously, if you leave, it's not as hard or as, you know, a tough a situation.
Oh, yeah.
There's no that much bad feelings. But when someone lets you go.
When you get fired.
Right, exactly.
Right. Like,
I'm going to show you.
He was fired. They looked at that staff and they said, no, the problem isn't from the top. The problem isn't Kevin Stefanski and the fact that we handed him Deshaun Watson. The problem is Joe Woods and the defense. And, you know, I think Myles Garrett wasn't a huge fan of his, and that goes a long way. When you have a guy like Myles Garrett and he's not in your corner, your days are numbered, right? Like, that's when you're a star player, especially a star of that caliber. You know, I'm not an astronomy guy. What's the brightest, hottest star, right? Like
the sun.
Yeah, well, they're all suns, Steve. I'm not an astronomy guy, but I know that. But either way, you know, like, when you have a guy like that who's not for you, then a lot of it is against you. And so we'll see, you know. And I thought he did a good job last week of, you know, I don't think the defense was necessarily that much different. I thought the way he approached the defense was a little different.
For sure.
Especially from a pass rush perspective. You didn't see as many games. You didn't see as much simulated pressure. You kind of just went. And while you did that, you had a bigger rotation, or a shorter rotation, I should say. And when I say shorter, I mean fewer snaps in between rotations. So I think it was how you were able to keep guys fresher, and maybe that's why you were able to get those big sacks on the last few drives. Cam Jordan got through for one. Chase Young got through for one.
I know he liked the more snaps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, I think that's more representative of what we'll see for him. I think the max you're going to see is around 40 snaps, but you're not going to see 10, which is what he got against the Panthers. And it's honestly kind of disrespectful to look at Cam and be like, yeah, you can only contribute 10 snaps to this defense, right? Like, he may not be as productive as he was in the past, but he's still a valuable piece of your defense, and you got to find ways to get him on the field. So I liked how it went last week with Joe. I liked the way he was calling the game. So we'll see how that goes.
Looking at our LCMC health update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Out for the Saints in this game, we know Jamal Williams and Lucas Patrick, both of them will not be playing. Also questionable for the Black and Gold, Pete Werner, he's dealing with a hand issue. We'll be talking about that as well. JT Gray, a hip. Eric McCoy is questionable, dealing with the groin issue. He was limited all week, but full go on Friday. Obviously, he's playing today. We're looking forward to his return.
Yeah.
Also, hamstring for Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's listed as questionable, was also a full go on Friday, and limited for the Black and Gold on Friday's practice. Cedric Wilson Jr., he was limited all week, actually, questionable. And then a guy back in the mix, Nephi Sewell, coming back from a knee issue, was a full go all week, but still questionable for this team into the matchup. And then looking at some of the roster announcements that the team made the other day, Eric McCoy has been activated off of injured reserve. Also, Nephi Sewell from reserve, the physically unable to perform lifts. They've waived wide receiver Jermaine Jackson and elevated wide receivers Kevin Austin Jr. and Dante Pettis to the active rosters. Those are standard elevations for this matchup against the Browns.
Yeah, and so Nephi is an interesting case. I wouldn't be surprised, like if you think, oh, he was activated to the roster, he's going to be active. I wouldn't be surprised if he's inactive. The reason you had to activate him this week was he was at the end of his 21-day window. So if you didn't activate him, his season would be over. We talking to Darren on Friday, they had not made a decision yet to that end. The guy that you're watching and saying, okay, will he play, is Pete Werner. He missed the first 2 days of practice dealing with a hand injury. He was out there on Friday with a club, and he got in a limited practice. So the question is going to be, do the doctors feel like he can play without doing any additional damage to that hand? So we'll find out. I think they had the option to downgrade him to maybe question or doubtful on right. Saturday. So he wants to play. We'll see if he can play. And he's obviously a big piece of this defense. And I think if he's active, Nephi probably is inactive. And if he is inactive, then maybe Nephi's active, right? The guy that surprised me was Jermaine Jackson, who was your primary punt returner and kick returner. You know, if this was training camp, I would have a pretty good idea of who might be returning punts or kicks today, but we don't get to watch those parts of practice. So we'll have to see, right? Because obviously Rashid Shaheed's not here.
Right.
Jermaine Jackson's not here. I haven't seen Mason Tipton do any punt return. He didn't really do it that much in training camp. He was more of a kick return guy. So I'd be surprised if it's him, if you trust him in his first ever, like he's never done it in the NFL. So the guy I'd be expecting to be your punt returner is Dante Pettis. He's done it before. He's got like 32 career punt returns. Kick return, I think you probably will see Mason Tipton involved in there. Maybe Pettis, maybe somebody else like old Jordan Mims. But that was a bit of a surprise to me. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to get him back on the practice squad. The other cut you didn't mention was Connor McGovern. They waived him.
He actually got
claimed by the Jets, so he's back with the Jets now. So he's not an insurance policy at center anymore. So Lucas Patrick is out. Who's your backup center today? So Eric McCoy's going to play. I would guess it's Shane Lemieux. I think Shane Lemieux has to be active because I don't think you want to put Cesar Ruiz in that position where you'd have to shift over. So we'll have to see. But Shane Lemieux is listed on the depth chart as your center. So that's going to be an interesting question. But, the other one, the guy I want to talk about more, we don't have to talk about it here, Kevin Austin elevated again today. I'd like to see something out of him. I think he's going to get a good bit of run. So, some interesting moves for sure.
The Riz, we'll see if it's back with his black and gold bunch for another game today, Sunday, in the Superdome, taking on the Cleveland Browns. Want to hear from you, Hudets. What you up to today? How you feeling about this matchup against Cleveland? Definitely a tough defense, and we'll see that Jameis factor if we get some of those God's plan balls just hanging up there for this Saints secondary. Hopefully can take advantage of. We're going to take a break, but want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Jeff and I are in the Superdome already, just waiting for those gates to open. We're going to take a break and be back with more First Take right after this, so stay tuned on WWE.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bell. Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak bringing you till 10 a.m. That's when the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff starts with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and we'll lead up to game time. with Hoss and Deuce on the call in the broadcast booth way atop the Caesar Superdome, where I'm sure it's nice and chilly this morning. That's a noon star for us right here, and definitely looking forward to a game before the bye week, Jeff. Haven't made any plans yet, but definitely looking forward to my downtime as well.
Yeah, well, they already made the coaching change, so I can at least operate safely.
Nothing's going to happen there, right?
That was what I was worried about. They were going to wait, and then those couple days where you could kind of relax, you're going to be like pins and needles, like, oh, what are they going to do? but no, bye weeks are nice. You know, I think this Saints team would have preferred, you know, it's funny, the schedule comes out, and you look at a week 12 bye, and you're like, well, we expect to have a winning record by that point. So that's a great time to have a bye. When you're struggling the way the Saints did in your first half of your schedule, you kind of wish, oh, man, a week 9 bye would have been nice, wouldn't it? Right in the middle of that, you know, like that Derek Carr injury, so you could kind of get that free week without your starting quarterback.
Yeah, that seems like a whole nother lifetime besides the weeks 1 and 2 now, too, the Spencer Rattler experience.
This season has contained multitudes. But no, I mean, a win today would go a long way. Again, like, I think there's going to be positive vibes in here. It's going to be a good environment, but that can go away quickly. Right? Like, if you come out here and you lay a dud today, no one's going to be talking about Rizzy Ball anymore. They're going to be talking about draft picks, you know?
And who's the next head coach?
Yeah, and coaching candidates.
Right, exactly. Right?
So it's a big one.
Looking at the big news for today is definitely Eric McCoy back in the mix for the black and gold. The center had gone down after the first series against Philadelphia week 3. Yep. And having him back, definitely huge for this offensive line. And Darren Rizzi talked about having the center back in the flow for this team. And here's what he had to say on McCoy.
You certainly can get more creative with a guy like Eric because there's so much he can do. He has very few limitations. And so when you bring in a backup at any position, you may try to simplify some things and not get as complicated. What Eric allows you to do is open up the whole playbook. You know, there's really nothing that the offensive line can't do with him in there. And so without getting too detailed, you know, there's really, we're not handcuffed or we're not, you know, hamstrung into anything that we can't do. And so it opens up everything because, you know, in my opinion, he's got no limitations as a center.
No limitations indeed. And quarterback Derek Carr talks about his center, Eric McCoy, as well, and what he thinks he means to this offensive line.
Just his leadership, you know, his ability to communicate when things aren't as scouted, his recall. You know, his experience, just being able to make sure he knows, oh, that's not a good call, make this call. You know, he can fix problems on the fly. You know, things that no one will ever see, no one will ever know. You know, just handling the unscouted looks, handling those things, and then winning his matchups, you know. The ability to, you know, get to the second level, third level, you know, and make blocks. You know, like I said, you know, you don't ever, when someone gets hurt, you don't just replace that person because they bring a certain way about them and skill set to be that guy. You know, but, you know, guys stepped in and played really good football for us. But anytime you get somebody back, you're excited for what they're able to bring as well.
Is it hard to, I guess, like, qualify the center's importance to the offense? You know, I mean, like, a lot of guys, you can see, like, a tackle and be like, oh, well, yeah, big pass rusher or whatever. But, like, a center is responsible for so much stuff.
Yeah, 100%. I would think it would never be something like, you know, if you have a fantasy team, you would never understand why he's important. You know, like, you would never understand, you know, unless you're playing Madden. You know, you need someone with a good rating, I guess. You know, you need him. But just to the, like, just to the naked eye, if you're just watching the game, you would never, you know, unless he gets just run over. You know, no one ever talks about the center. You know, but what he is able to do for us and some of the blocks we ask him to get to and reach. And I've only been around a couple guys that can do some things that he can do. And, you know, him, Rodney Hudson's one of them. The things he's able to do and the way he's able to communicate. And like I said, the unscouted looks, you know, the stuff that you don't practice, that someone throws a wrench at you. He feels the pressure coming. We didn't talk about that, but he fixes it. And really then our time on task together, you know, just the repetitions, the blitzes, us watching it together. You know, the blitz meeting, we sit next to each other, watching it, communicate and see it the same way. You know, those reps that we've, you know, put in the bank, you know, those things, those are like gold, you know, because then it comes up in a game and you do it. And so, like I said before, I thought our guys handled that stuff really well. But, you know, for a quarterback, it's nice when he's there, you know, because you know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly, you know, that he knows the calls to make and all those things to put everyone else on the same page to do their job.
We talked about this too, Jeff, on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, of that factor of having McCoy backs helps relieve a little bit of stress, at least, of responsibilities off of a Derek Carr.
Yeah, and I mean, Clint Kubiak's offense, they want the center to handle protection calls, right? Like, that's how they want to operate. Now, I don't know how much of that has shifted to Derek Carr over the last 7 weeks or whatever, how long it's been since McCoy's been out. But definitely some of it has, and the onus has been on him more so than the center to get that done. And if the center, when you have a backup center in there and he's not making – I mean, Shane Lemieux had never played center in his life before stepping in there week four. You think you're asking him to make all of those protection calls? Absolutely not. You're hoping he can survive. And the same could be said for Connor McGovern. I think Connor has played admirably. I think he's performed admirably in his time here. But, you know, there's no, you know, and you don't want to talk about Connor in a way that's like, we don't appreciate what he did. But there's no questioning that was a step down for multiple reasons. And if you ever needed to, you know, if you ever went into a season of like, how valuable is the center? I mean, just look at how the offense changed from weeks one and two until now. And that's not to say the Saints are going to be able to get back to where they were in weeks one and two. They don't have any of their wide receivers anymore. Like, that was obviously a problem. But you should be able to run the ball a lot more effectively. And I think you'll be able to get into better looks against, you know, the defense, and especially unscouted looks is what Derek talked about. It's like you can have a plan for a lot of things, but sometimes they'll throw something out you've never seen before. And how do you handle that? And the center is a big part of that, and Eric's a big part of that. He's seen it all. He's been around forever. I say forever. I mean, he's only been around since 2019. It feels like forever because he started from day one in front of Drew Brees, right? Like, I think we take for granted how important it was to put a center in front of Drew Brees when Max Unger suddenly retired and you didn't have a first-round pick. You had to go find a center, and they did, and Eric, and they hit. It's one of the Saints' better draft picks over the last 6-7 years. But I do think, like, his importance to this team kind of underscores the fact that you don't have a particularly deep offense. You don't have a lot of star players on this offense like you used to. And that's not a good thing. But no, there's no question that getting Derek out there in terms of like your calls are going to be more high level, your looks are going to be more high level, and then the fact that he's just a very good center, like from a pass protection standpoint, from a run game standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, he's just a good player. And so anytime you get good players back, that's helpful. But he also makes the people around him better, and that's what you were missing the most. Like, even if Connor McGovern played, stood on his head and played incredibly well, you still weren't getting that kind of, you know, rising tide of having Eric in there to make Cesar Ruiz better, to make the left guard better, whether that's Nick Saldivari or somebody else. Like, right. So you're getting that back this week. I am curious to see whether, you know, there's some rust. Anytime you miss that much time at the NFL level, you're going to have some rust. And I don't know what rust looks like at the center position, but hey, if some snaps get away from him, you know, that's gonna be a problem. And it's something that, you know, if it happens this week, you'll be like, well, he hasn't snapped them all in forever, right? Of course, you know. So that's gonna be something to watch. But it's good to have Eric back. You know, he's an emotional leader. He's a literal leader on this team. So he'll be helpful.
What you were saying right there, Jeff, leads right into our next bite. Eric McCoy was asked in the locker room, how hard does he think it's gonna be for him to get back into that flow with the offensive line?
Well, you know, I came back today. I was just a little bit rusty. But, you know, by the time Sunday comes around, I feel like I'll be back in tip-top shape, tip-top execution, hand placement, all those things.
Yeah, and obviously a tough matchup against a Cleveland team that has a brutal defensive line. We all know Myles Garrett, but McCoy was asked, too, just as a whole, what's it like going against this Browns front?
It's a damn good defensive line, like, all across the board. Obviously, you got Myles Garrett. Elite player in the NFL, Dalvin Tomlinson, an elite run stopper. Shelby Harris, been in the league a long time, another really good run stopper. And they do get after people. So it'll be a challenge for us. Like, we're going to have to step up to the plate, and all five of us are going to have to play well and play in cohesion for us to have a successful game.
Yeah, definitely a tough test right off the bat you get coming back facing the Cleveland Browns front, but I'm sure – you know, it is what it is in the NFL. You're going to be facing top talent every single week because it's not going to get any easier with the Browns. After the Browns, you do get the bye, but boom, you come back. You got a Rams front that's pretty brutal as well. So, interested to see how this team responds today. Protecting Derek Carr, obviously, going to be at the forefront. And you mentioned as well where Eric, I think, can really help out is the Saints' run game, which has been up and down. There's been moments where you've seen some positive flashes, but way too far and few between, honestly.
Yeah, and I don't think they necessarily ran the ball particularly well last week. I think they did in the first half. In the second half, things got bogged down, and you didn't establish the line of scrimmage the way you probably hoped you would. You punted five times in the second half of that game, and a lot of it was because you weren't getting positive gains on first and second down in the run game. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, this Cleveland defense has not been great at stopping the run. They're middle of the pack. And I think that's going to go a long way. It's like, okay, how do you establish the run and how do you stop the run? And, you know, I think I termed it in my, like, pregame column as the stoppable force meets the movable object, right? Because the Browns are, you know, 28th in the NFL and running the ball. And I know I'm switching sides of the line here, but
that's fine.
You know, the run games for both sides are going to be massively important. And the Saints are like 27th in the NFL in terms of average yards per game allowed on the ground. You know, a lot of that's been dictated by explosive plays, right? If you take away the 60-something yard touchdown run from Bijan, the 37-yard touchdown run, I'm sorry, from Saquon,
right?
The 37-yard touchdown run from Bijan, there's a 30-something yard touchdown run from Sean Tucker, there's a 30-something yard run from Bucky Irving mixed in there, right? If you take away those explosive runs, those days don't look nearly as effective. Now, obviously, you can't do that.
I was going to say, you can't get rid of that on the stat sheet.
But you can fix it. You can look at, okay, what do we screw up on this one play? And, like, okay, what do we do right on these other plays? But no, the Browns haven't been able to run the ball. You think, oh, this team has Nick Chubb or whatever. They haven't for a lot of the season, but they're ranked 28th in the NFL. Or 28th in the NFL in yards per game. It's 90-something yards per game on the ground. And since he's been back, that number's actually gotten worse. It's gone down to like 78. They're 30th in the NFL. He's got 100-something yards on 40 carries, I think. He's averaging 2.7 yards per carry since he came back. So, you know, the Saints don't – you know, the problem is you don't want to be the get-right team for all these running backs, and it feels like the Saints are right now. So, if they can establish the run, if they can stop the run, they should win this game. If they can't, then it's going to be, you know, a coin toss.
I started laughing just because thinking of Nick Chubb dealing with injuries, and that's not the funny part, but what popped in my head was Mike Tyson's feet in that matchup, the boxing match we just saw against Jake Paul.
You know who won that? You know who really won that matchup? The people who decided not to stay up to watch it.
Oh, for sure. I totally agree. I was like, I can't believe I wasted my time and fell for this and actually thought it was going to be entertaining. Not only that, obviously, the issues that Netflix was having with the streaming.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, not a good look. And the Netflix has hosted an NFL playoff game this year, guys. Like,
yeah, for some reason, my wife doesn't think there's going to be as much traffic for that.
There won't. That was like the streaming event of the century.
I still think an NFL game on Christmas is going to be heavy volume.
Oh, it's a Christmas game. It's not a playoff game?
They do have a Christmas, and I think they are doing playoffs as
okay.
well.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, it'll have a lot of volume, but no, the numbers for that were insane. It's because of the buildup. Like,
sure.
You got to give them credit. They built that thing up.
Everybody had to see what was going to happen, too.
But if I'm the NFL, I'm looking at Netflix, like, guys, can you handle this? Like, are you okay? Hopefully they got the bugs out of their system. That's not what we came to talk about, but go ahead.
No, like I said, I just thought about Nick Chubb's feet and for whatever reason Mike Tyson popped into my head there. The run game with the Cleveland Browns, though, not just Nick Chubb, also Jerome Ford coming back in the mix. So it's going to be interesting because they do have a 1-2 punch there, but it just hasn't been working for them.
No, and I mean, what you need to do is make sure that you're limiting yardage, right? You're limiting things to like 3, 4, 5 yards. You don't want to see Nick Chubb tearing off 10, 15, 20 yard runs. That's how it builds up. Like, you can withstand some early yardage. You cannot allow the chunk plays, right? And that's what Nick Chubb does. He kind of pounds, and then suddenly, 20, 25. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at 150, 200 rushing yards, and you're like, when did that happen?
Well, I feel like we've seen that a lot this year, and you mentioned whatever the running back has been, it's like 4 yards, 6 yards, 7, back to 5, and then all of a sudden...
60.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah, you can't allow that to happen. And I think Pete Werner, when he's been in there, has been a big difference maker in that regard. So that's why him getting out there, you know... Willie Gay, I like Willie Gay. He gets out of position a little bit too much for my liking. And I go back to that Chris Godwin. It's not a run play, but that Chris Godwin touchdown against the Bucks, which, I mean, it kind of is a run play. He caught the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And it's like that happened because you ran yourself out of the play. And you allowed him to cut back. Joe Woods would say it's a cutback league. You cannot get out of position at the linebacker level because then you're asking your safeties, smaller guys, to come up and make a tackle. And if they miss that tackle, it's to the house. Right, and so that linebacker play in the run game is incredibly important. So let's see how that goes.
Want to hear you sounding off on First Take here, 504-260-1870. Got a bunch of sound to get into, including Jari Evans going to be honored at halftime today, going into the Ring of Honor for the black and gold. It's pretty cool, obviously, being forever memorialized here in the Caesar Superdome. Anytime you get to come in and check it out, you can be like, hey, that's me right there.
And Darren did say he's going to let him stay out at halftime. He's like, all right, Jerry's been here long enough. He's going to do what you want to do. You only go into this one time, so enjoy it.
Going to take a break, be back with more. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back after this on First Take. See you later. Happy Sunday, Saints fans. It is game day. Not so happy, obviously, after that LSU game, a brutal third straight loss for the Tigers. But shout out to the Tulane Green Wave. A big victory at Navy, 35-0, shutting out the midshipmen, sunk them at Navy, and have clinched the spot in the conference championship game. And they got some more armed forces they're going to have to be taking on December 6th when they face Army for a chance to go to the college football playoffs. So roll wave.
Roll wave. UL lost to South Alabama, too. I think they struggled, right? I don't think they came back in that game.
I have not checked, honestly. I know that's bad on my part. I know I should be more prepared on our local scene here. But I do think the Cajuns ended up dropping that match.
Yeah, 24-22. I knew they rallied. They scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. They lost. They were 8-1 going into that game. That's a big loss. That's a bad loss for them.
I know. Yeah, like you mentioned, Charlie will not be happy this morning.
No, I know. South Alabama was 5-5. The Fighting Senior Bowls are 5-5. That's what the Senior Bowl isn't, because everyone was wondering. But it's a rough weekend. And other than Tulane, obviously, and Louisiana football.
And then we had a kind of, at least the Pelicans snapped that skid the other day, but last night falling to the Lakers. And what are you going to do? Obviously, an undermanned basketball bunch taking on LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, between the Pelicans and the Saints, like you could like have a Hall of Fame listing
of hamstring issues,
injuries, and oh my gosh, it's brutal.
Looking at the Saints today on a positive note, going into the Ring of Honor, we talked about it. Super Bowl champ, All-Pro Jari Evans. He's now an assistant coach with his Black and Gold bunch, working hard here. And head coach Darren Rizzi even talked about getting to see Jari Evans every day and what he means to this team.
The best thing Jari can bring to the table is his experience. And so we have obviously some younger, less experienced players there. And I think that's the hands-on is what Jari's best at. You see him on the field, you see him working with the guys. Here's a guy that's been in the fire. It's a little bit different when you have that experience. And not only that, he played at such a high level. So he could throw some film on and say, this is how I did this or we did this. And so he's got that certain credibility immediately with some of the guys because of the success that he enjoyed. But he's such a great guy having around. He's such a positive influence. He walks in the building every day. He's always in a good mood, always has a good attitude. I joke around. When you walk in the side door every day, you have the choice to be Eeyore or Tigger. He's Tigger every day. So that's a choice that you make. So I appreciate that. And so my office is right next to his. So I have a lot of interaction with him every day. He's just a pleasure to be around. And we're happy and proud to have him. We're proud of his success.
Tigger, bouncy, fun.
Yeah, and we talk about health, right? We talk about health. So Jari Evans, first 7 years of his career, there was 112 games, right?
Right.
How many of those games he started?
How many?
112.
Boom.
7 years. He didn't miss a game in 7 years. And then his eighth year, he missed two games. And then he played 16 games in his ninth year. So, you talk about all of these games that guys are missing. And, you're talking 144 games. He played in 142 of them over 9 years.
Amazing, obviously, for an offensive lineman with the beating they take.
Right, exactly. And that's, how do you get into the Hall of Fame as an interior lineman? Being available is a big part of it, right? Like, look at Cam Jordan, right? Like, Cam Jordan, if Cam was missing 2 to 3 games a year, would we be talking about him the same way as we talk about Cam Jordan from a career perspective? No, absolutely not. Like, the Iron Man element of Cam's game, the availability is the best ability in that regard, and that was the case with Jari's entire career, and that's one of the reasons he was able to be so special, because he was always there. He never had to ask, where are we going to be at that position? Like, you knew you were going to have Hall of Fame talent every week, every game, every snap.
Coach Rizzi obviously mentioning the fact that, guys willing to soak in that information from a person that's been there, done that at the highest level, and Jari Evans, now a coach with the Saints. Well, Jari was asked his feelings on getting that call and knowing that he's going to be forever memorialized in the Saints Ring of Honor.
It feels like the most elite group to wear the Florida Lee on the helmet, which it is. And that's an awesome feeling. I just think about, my children didn't see me play, but they'll see Dad's name up there on the Ring of Honor. So, I'll substitute that out any day. So that's awesome. I'm excited for it. I'm grateful, for the organization, Mrs. Benson, Mickey, and all my coaches, my teammates, the Who Dat Nation fans. It's awesome. And the biggest thing that makes it even better is how much we were able to win and and able to win a championship, because, you know, that's very rare as well.
Love to hear, obviously, too, Jeff, from the former players that have been around Ja Reed. Scott Shanley this morning put on Twitter, this dude is one of the most humble greats to ever play the game. He dominated D-lines and linebackers every Sunday while being one of the best people in our locker room. Enough good things can't be said about number 73. So happy for him and what he's earned, every honor that is coming his way. Next, here comes Canton, and I would totally agree. Obviously, Jari Evans, not only a Ring of Honor, but will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame eventually.
Also a guy who kind of looks like he could still play if he really needed to, right? Like,
he'd probably say no. Like,
Course he would say no. That's right. Why he's not playing.
When we needed running back help, right. Too, Deuce is like, hey, everyone's like, Deuce, you think you get in there for a snap or two? Yeah. And everyone's always like, no, I'm past that, please.
I mean, but Jari's 41 years old. It's not like you look at guys like Marcus or Jason Peters. He's still trying to get a practice squad job. I think he signed with a practice squad somewhere.
Yeah.
He's like, what, 42, right? So, I mean, Jari, they were that thin on the offensive line at one point. I was like, hey, is it worth the shot? Let's see. Maybe he wants to get back in there. Maybe he wants to give it one more go. But no, I mean, like, you look at the guys he was drafted with, and he was a third-round pick in this draft, but that draft includes, like, Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, guys like Vernon Davis, Jay Cutler. These older draft classes are fascinating. Obviously, that was an incredible draft class for the Saints. One thing that's funny is, so Darren Rizzi, obviously, he was a head coach in college for a good chunk of his career at the University of New Haven. I went to Southern Connecticut State University right down the street.
I heard you asking him pizza questions.
Yeah, I was curious if he was a Pepe's or a Sally's guy. He split the difference. He didn't give me any ammunition, but he's correct. Pepe's, Sally's, modern pizza. His best take was that modern pizza. You go to New Haven, everyone's going to talk about Pepe's and Sally's. Modern is the kind of secret correct answer, there's two correct answers, but then there's like the secret path that you can take off to the side,
gotcha.
Quest, and that is you'll benefit a lot more from that side quest than you think, because the line's a lot shorter. But anyway, he coached at New Haven, and one of the schools at New Haven played Division II, Bloomsburg College, and who was there? Mr. Jari Evans. So he knows a lot about him, and it's going to be a cool moment at halftime for sure.
One thing Coach Jari Evans was asked, how he felt this offensive line handled all that rash of injuries they were forced to deal with.
I think the guys handled it very well. We have an awesome room. I tell you that, we have an awesome room, and that's the first step, because if the room as a whole isn't good, when you have these things, this adversity that hits, especially just with our group alone, being on our fourth center and things of that nature, the team would notice that. And we all know that, this game really starts up front with the guys, So for one, we had good leadership. We have a good room. Eric is awesome. Even though he was hurt, he's in the meetings. He's very in tune with the guys. And the one thing that I love about the group that we did when I played here is we help each other. We didn't shy away from helping guys be a better player because they're playing and we're not playing and we want to play. And you get that in some rooms where, it's like, oh, well, I'm helping the guy play my position, but I'm trying to play. So we don't have those type of guys in our room, and the guys want to be better and they want to have success. And also, man, those guys got a great back behind them in Alvin Kamara. And when you got that, you can't slouch. There's no slacking, there's no slouching. And you want to be the best player could be for that guy because of his skill set and his talent. And the guys just focused in and dialed in, and they bought into the scheme and what the coaches were teaching these guys. And I think the best part about it is, when we first got all together in OTAs and, we're teaching the scheme and teaching everything, these guys really bought in and they had fun doing it. So when we start having success on the field and seeing it work, these guys were all in. When guys went down, the next guy stepped up, same mentality, all in. So it's, we're coming out of it now, like you said, and I'm looking forward to watching these guys continuing to go out there and play well.
That was Jari Evans talking about the Saints offensive line deal with some injuries. The new Ring of Honor entrant has been a huge part of this Saints organization and will continue to be immortalized forever now in the Caesar Superdome. We're going to take a break, be back with more of First Take right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into First Take as we close out the first hour. Coming back next time, we'll have more sound coming up with Derek Carr, Darren Rizzi, Joe Woods, here all coming up on First Take. Want to remind everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide a low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations are at $22,450. Heading to the top of the hour news, and then more First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kick off at 10, and then game time in the Caesars Superdome between the Saints and Browns coming up high noon right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Be right back, folks.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.